So that is my brother Euclid Jacobs. Let's claim it now. Euclid Jacobs with a song called Again. I hope you took a listen to those lyrics. And even within this talk, you know that when God is in it, there's no limit to what He can do. I want to quickly get into some of your voice notes as you sent through. Somebody that's dear to our hearts as well, Denise Williams. Let's quickly just get into this particular voice note.
So yes, Marco, this is one of my favorite couples, and all the couples that I know in Cape Town and anywhere else, they definitely amongst the top ones. Love them very much. Our friendship goes a long, long way, and what an example they are to the body of Christ, and an example they are to their communities, the examples they are within their families. So Ailey, a.k.a. Donnie, Dr. Donovan and Christine, God bless you. We really look up to you, and may God continue to bless your marriage with His unfailing love and presence.
Thank you, Denise Williams, from our sister radio station there in the north, not around the corner from me.
Love you, Auntie Denise.
If I was 5 minutes younger, I'd marry you, Denise.
But listen, you guys want to say, just acknowledge a few people around the world? I know they also tuned in.
Yeah, maybe you guys.
I just want to say hi to my friend, also Pastor Renee from Tanzania. I know they're listening in. Judy from America.
Yeah, and Lynn Norman and Roderick
Norman.
Norman
in London. We just want to send a shout out to them as well.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah. Thank you for those that are listening. It means a lot to us that we can encourage the body like that.
Yeah.
Marco, we didn't start at where we are now, hey? Mm.
Yeah.
It was really rough for a long time between the two of us.
Yeah.
And was not for the hand of God.
Yes.
And for her personal maturity and my maturity, you know, we would not be sitting here. And she said something in the break that I think we should be talking about, this issue of boundaries. A lot of people want perfection in marriage.
Mm.
There's no perfection. There's only progress. A lot of people want the secret of marriage. Yeah. There's no secret in marriage. Just follow the principles in the Word.
Mm.
And the issue of Christ as Lord comes up all the time. I'm not talking about secular marriages. I'm talking about us that are born again. There's boundaries within a marriage. There's principles within a marriage. There's the spiritual first before it's the natural. And if we're going to go for natural solutions first for spiritual problems, we are in trouble.
Yeah.
Right, Lovie?
Yeah, I believe that we have to set. We have to set boundaries. We have to set a standard for marriage, and the standard should be the Word of God.
Mm.
The boundaries also, I believe that everything is locked up in the Word of God. Everything about marriage, everything about relationships. And I think it's important that we set that standard, and this is especially for the younger ones that's young in marriage, that they set their standard now already. Husband and wife, there's a place for a wife, there's a place for a husband, and there's roles for a husband, and there's a role for a wife as well within the marriage, and for children per se.
But here's my problem, Marco and Christine. Here's my problem. So you have these beloved that have gone through all the storms. They've gone through all the issues in marriage, right? And the Bible says, let the older train the younger. Those that are old in the faith, and according to Titus, they must teach the younger ones. The Bible also says that that young women don't know how to love their husbands.
Yeah.
That's a true story. Young women that are married, they don't know how to love their husbands. This is a truth. They might know carnal love. They might know
in love.
Yeah, but they don't know how to love. They don't know the pragma love. They don't know the sacrificial love that goes with a relationship. But my contention is this, Marco. So there's people that have gone through life. They've made their mistakes. They've written the books, all of those things. And they don't share.
Mm.
They don't share the truth of it. So here's the deal. They're only in their marriages, they only witness with their strengths.
Yeah.
But they don't witness with their weaknesses. So what we see coming up, we see these perfect couples. They smile, they look good, the children look good, but like they say in the Capulets, Kanti, back at the ranch, they've gone through a hell of a time.
Mm.
But they don't share the hell of a time with those that are just being married. So those that that just got married, they see this perfect couple because this couple are hypocritical. They only model their strengths and not their weaknesses. I would very much love for married couples who have gone through those issues, obviously there's boundaries around it, to share with younger people what they have been struggling with: financial issues, sexual issues, identity issues, spiritual issues.
Yeah.
We don't do that, Marco.
And I think that may be at the heart of why we find ourselves in trouble. And I'm not pointing blame at anybody. I'm saying that is where we find ourselves. And I think maybe it is that we've not been taught these things, that we've gone away from, like Christine says, what the Word teaches us.
Yeah.
And we've been modeling, especially as believers, what we see in the world and how that looks, the white picket fence. And if you have it, it's great. But I'm talking about the romantic view of what marriage is. And then when life happens, and life will happen when you're married, what do you do then? And how sober-minded are you about when these challenges come? And it will happen, and that's why I agree with you. You need to have that counsel of those that's gone before you, that has a trailblazed for you. And we need to be able to swallow our pride and say, okay, I need help in this particular area. Mm. But we got an image to uphold for a lot of people. And then my question is simply this, and Dr. Phil says it so nicely, how's it working out for you?
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. How's it working out for you? And it's real talk here on the show, and I've decided to continue this as a series because I don't think we need to stop today or 2 weeks into. I think this is something we need to get a hold of. It is a building block for society.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if marriage fails, our society fails, we need to speak. And how much more to believers,
yes,
because we need to let our light shine. Others are looking to us to showcase to them how to do it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm really, so somehow in my spirit, I'm vexed a little bit.
Yes.
It's almost like something needs to come out.
Yes.
Something is missing. It must come out.
It is, Marco.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe
we'll have a prayer meeting.
But I do see this, Donovan, or Dr. Donovan.
As Donovan is fine.
I want to say this, at the end of this series, or even in the series, I still see marriage renewals happening, but soberly so that we're going into this thing having the tools for that.
Yes.
And I still want to do, and I spoke to my brother, maybe we do 1,000 couples.
Yes, of course.
Mm. 1,000 couples.
That would be amazing.
I think let's do it. That's in my heart. To go and do that because I think we are in trouble.
Yes.
I think we're in big trouble. We need to acknowledge that. Mm. We're wondering, and the spiritual component is there. We need to, what bride is he going to find when he comes back?
Powerful.
Yeah.
You want to say something?
I think for me the most important, like I said, the answer is all locked up in the Word of God. We need to bring the Word of God back into our marriages, into our families. We need to bring the Spirit of God back into our marriages. I believe that the Spirit is missing, the Holy Spirit of God is missing between husband and wife. We've set, when we got married, we've set out clear guidelines in our own marriage. One of the things was clear communication. The other thing was bringing the Word of God back. We've got a prayer life at home, and we introduced our children to that prayer life as well. No marriage is going to last if there's no prayer involved.
Mm.
No marriage is going to last if the Word of God is not in the family. Mm. And I think we can agree to that, that when we speak about marriage, every couple don't start out thinking of divorce. They don't think of problems. They all think of this happy ever after. But I believe that as couples, and I hope that the youngsters are listening to us this afternoon, bring the Word of God back into your marriage.
Yeah.
Set out a day or a day in the week where you sit around the Word of God with your husband, with your children, where you bring the communion table back into the house.
I want to say this, though, Christine. I don't even sense it. I know it, that we have so many broken people walking around in our churches, in our streets, in our communities. They're broken, and they smile. The soul is messed up because they're unhappy, desperately unhappy. And as I speak, I'm speaking to somebody right now, knowing that they are desperately unhappy. How do we get God back into this conversation in regards to marriages and make it a focal point, man? It's not always a focal point. Like I said in the beginning of this chat, we invite him to our weddings and not into our marriages. Mm. And I think I'm speaking to somebody. They know that's the truth, that he is not in the marriage. It was all about the ceremony.
Yeah.
But I think a ceremony is so symbolic of what needs to come. You can only do the symbolism so far. But when you say, Lord, in front of you and all these witnesses, so what are we doing?
Marco,
what are we saying?
I, I want to share this quick. It's going to take a second or so. You know, it's answering your question in a roundabout way. I sat with a great friend of mine 2 weeks ago, and we were discussing this topic about marriage, and his wife cheated on him three times. Mm. And then when he appeared before the church, what he did was he said it was him. That's the public display, right? Now let me take you to the private display, what happened between him and Holy Spirit. So when they were alone, he and Holy Spirit, the Paracletos spoke to him. He says, "Do you want my blessing? Do you want my favor for your life? Do you want my favor for your children? Do you want generational impact that only I can bring?" And he said, "Yes, Lord." Then the Holy Spirit said to him, "Now forgive your wife." And we sing that song so easily, Above All Powers. And there's a piece there in that song that says, "You took the fall and you thought of me above all." Mm. Adam took the fall for Eve, knowing that she was wrong. He took the blame. A husband is always accountable for anything in the marriage. The different participants, whether it's children or the wife, they are responsible. It's a big difference. But us as men, we're always accountable. So to answer your question, you know, what does God want you to do? What does the Bible say you must do? A lot of our unhappiness stems out of the fact that we are carnal and we are hurt and we don't want to forgive. Ephesians 4:32 speaks about be kind-hearted towards one another, forgiving each other, just like Christ forgave us, for God's sake. There is this element of forgiveness that Christians don't want to go into. Mm. They'll forgive, but they won't forget. Mm. And like this guy that I can't mention, he had to forgive. And publicly, people thought it was him. Mm. But he covered his wife, and he chose to forgive. Mm. They have probably one of the best marriages. And if you look at them, you'll say, "Wow, look at God." Mm. But you don't know what has happened. Like Alfonso always says, you see the glory, but you don't know my story.
Yeah.
But yet again, I think you've touched on something again, is that we do not share that particular things. And maybe for some reason, it's not always possible.
No, Malcolm. No, you can't share everything. I have this thing in counseling now for the last 20 plus years. You know, when people come to me for counseling, what happens is they are so overwhelmed with guilt. Do you know what they do, Marco? They tell their spouses everything. Mm-hmm. There's a place for everything. Yeah. But there's certain things that a partner, especially a woman, can't take, especially when it comes to infidelity. Mm-hmm. The woman don't lose the pictures in the head. Mm-hmm. So if I've been eating out of the pot and I've been unfaithful and my wife wants to know what I did, how did I do it, where did I do it, those things are not to be shared, my personal view, because the woman never recovers from that wound. Sure. So you understand, so there's certain things, there's boundaries, like my wife has been talking about. But I want to say, Marco, there's hope, eh? There's hope for every marriage. Just like God has changed that guy's marriage, I wish he can come and chat to you here one day, Marco, and share what God has done for him. He's affecting millions of people's lives in our midst. And I mean millions. And people don't even know what he has gone through, and that it was actually the other one and not him who took the blame. So I think first and foremost, to get back into healthy relationships, we got to make Jesus Lord of our personal lives. And number two, make Jesus Lord of our marriage. I want to put it like this. If a husband is not on his place, his wife will be misplaced. His children will be displaced, and he might be replaced.
Say that again.
Amen.
You gotta say it again.
You gotta pay me for that.
we can replay it. You gotta say it again.
If a husband is not on his place, his wife may be misplaced. His children might be displaced, and he might be replaced.
That's a yellow story. There is. I think I'm gonna get to some of the voice notes. I don't know what's falling out of here. This tree, we're shaking the tree.
We haven't even started yet, Marco.
Yeah, and so you're coming back, Mosna. You guys are coming back. We need to get deeper into this. Let's quickly head over here.
What a good topic. Really, really good, Pastor Marco. I just want to also say to my sister, Mina, Minnie, in Scotland. I know she's listening to you right now, streaming. I miss you and can't wait for you to come home. And hello to everybody else listening and to the lunch bunches. Tot lato, Carol here.
I'm quickly going to get into one or two more. Yeah, we don't have enough time. I think we need a longer show.
We haven't even started yet, Marco. Okay, let's get haven't even spoken about the Nunus yet.
We're going to talk to them about the Nunus very quickly. Let's quickly go,
Hi, Marco. I'm married now for 17 years, praise God. We got married the 11th of August, so this year was our 70th marriage anniversary. And I just want to praise God for that. Marco, I think it was well said when it was said that our marriages are sacred, you know. One lesson that we learned very early in our marriage while going through our counseling was that if your friend cannot be a mutual friend with your husband or your spouse, husband, wife, then that friendship cannot be healthy. Understand? Just simply put, look, myself and my wife, we're not perfect. There will always be issues. I know that. I know what makes her angry. She knows what makes me angry. And it's always the little things, man. Sometimes we just need to live with those little things, you know. The main things like finance, sex, I'll be open and I'll be honest. Those are the big challenges that we need to really pray about. And a couple that prays together, stays together, really, that really works. And the only way that I see my marriage will be failing is if God is not involved in our union. Thank you for the show. Thank you, Donovan and wife, the Jacobs family, for your input. I'm really blessed with the show. Thank you, Marco. Hello, Lunch Bunchers.
Thank you so much for that. I want to quickly get into a couple of your other comments. This one says, good afternoon, Lunch Bunchers. Let's take it a step further. Look at scenarios where the husband and wife pray together. The loving is good. They serve together in the house of the Lord. Alles is recht. But they have to fight demons of their forefathers, demons that have become so strong over the generations. And most that they do not, they're not even aware of. How do they go on from there? Ik los my vir die pastoor.
My God. You know, Marco, I don't want to talk much about my, because of your listeners, not my listeners, your listeners, your and our history and how we grew up. But every family tree has a devil assigned to it. Every family tree. You will notice what happens in your life has already happened in your father's and your mother's lives. It is a given. Mm-hmm. So you need to know, you need to know what your daddy struggled with, what your mommy struggled with, because that same thing is going to come and visit you. That's why I say, Marco, the church needs to be involved. Mm-hmm. You can't do it on your own. Yes, you love God, your husband loves God, but there are certain things that he needs to be accountable or she needs to be accountable for. Mm. And those things come only out when you involve the ecclesia, the ekkanoia, the brothers and the sisters to work with you in your marriage. The question you asked now is very relevant, because sometimes the woman is absolutely on her place. Mm. She is a model wife. Then you get this guy who's got some issues in his life that he's never dealt with. Mm. He's never dealt with it, and guess what? It rocks the marriage. Mm-hmm. True story. It can be vice versa as well. Mm-hmm. But this is a true story where one partner is on his place, the other partner is not on her place, and vice versa. And that's where 4:32 Ephesians comes in. Be kind-hearted towards one another. Yeah. Forgive like Christ has forgiven. Because, you know, we are not in marriage to get divorced. The antidote for divorce is forgiveness.
And I think... you know, we get a lot of comments about respect and all of those things, and it's great, and it's great. But I think if that was the only things or some of the things, the guidelines, it would have been great, and then we would have seen more healthier marriages. But we are under attack.
Yes.
His bride.
Yes.
Is under attack. Yes. I don't think I can put it any simpler than that God's bride is under attack.
That's so. You're Marco. It took a very long time for me to understand that marriage is spiritual more than it is carnal. I like what your previous guy said, who called in about the money and the nunus. I call it the nunus. Nunus are important. Money is important. All of those things are important. But the most critical thing about marriage is it is a picture of Christ and his bride. Mm. It's about him washing his wife. It's about me washing my wife. A husband washes his wife so that she can become without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish.
Yeah.
The wife, according to the Bible, does not wash the husband. There are many, so there's this order in marriages. There's so many women, they are on fire for God. They can speak in tongues, they can walk in water, they can do all of these wonderful things. And they think because of those giftings the Lord has given them, that they are in class, in proton, higher than their husbands. The husbands are the authority. The wife don't wash the husband. The husband washes the wife. Am I talking nonsense here?
Definitely, yes.
What do you say?
Correct.
Because I know that this is not popular, especially amongst women. And when you go and speak at conference and you tell...
I'm not popular either then.
Talk,
on
woman,
that.
Talk.
Because I'm a forerunner when it comes to order in a marriage, order in a family as well. I believe that the husband is the head. And I believe that the woman has got a place. She's got a say. I believe that God has made us equal.
Equal
according
in image.
To equal in image, equal in authority,
and
equal
in likeness.
I believe that.
That's
I believe
beautiful.
That we are equal. But we have roles to play.
That's beautiful.
And we should not overstep, once again, our boundaries when it comes to marriage, when it comes to relationships.
Yo, I want to jump in there, man. I like what you're saying, the expression and the representation of God is not fulfilled without a man and a woman. A man or a husband doesn't fulfill the expression of God only. It takes a husband and a wife to give full expression to the image, the likeness, and the authority of God.
Yeah, I don't want to actually cut this conversation, but it looks like we're going to have to. So, ladies and gentlemen, brethren and sisters, lunch bunches et al. So, I want to give them back. Mr. Donovan Jacobs says he must speak to the wifey.
Yeah, I like being in her hands.
Yeah, ek dink hulle moet maar vir hulle laat weet of hulle wil teruggie, but it's, we didn't, my brother said, we didn't speak about the nunus.
No, we must speak about the nunus, Marco.
We must speak about the nunus.
Die manne is droog, jong.
30 seconds, why must we speak about the nunus?
Because just like there's a covenant between God and us in the joining, so the nunus is a covenant between a husband and a wife. No nunus, dryness in marriage. Yeah. Daar moet so baie pings aan die buitenkant, so ek kan nie sê wat die noenoes is.
It was flow, it was flow.
En hy goed raak jy op.
And I think, if we're honest about it, that's a big, big contention with marriages and why it breaks up is the fact that we do not understand that part of the covenant there as well. No, Larry moet wacht, hy luister mooi, hy luister, ons gaan nou naar Larry toe.
And it's not evil, it's not an evil thing.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Not evil.